advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Well, I've been off for a week. My sleep schedule's fucked up.
You've been off for a week from work?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you got... I thought you were working and doing everything.
No, oh. I've been off.
I'm less impressed.
What time have you been sleeping?
Not sleeping.
I've been pooping like shit lately.
You've been pooping like shit?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
does shit poop?
I can't take credit. My buddy Freddie, that's his famous quote. He's been pooping like shit lately. It's not the truth. I just said it. I didn't poop very much at all. I went on a 3-day fast and then I quit. But
that doesn't sound fun.
It's actually cool, man. I didn't want to do 7 this time. I thought about it. I was like, I'll take it a day at a time. But I started on like Wednesday night and I went till Saturday night. So 10:30 Wednesday. I do it that way that I don't have to go to bed hungry.
Yeah, I just needed energy. Like I would eat, I would like suck down something, whatever was put in front of me, I would suck it down. Just
yeah, you, come here, and then, quick.
You missed your chance, Brent.
Yeah, you ran around all week.
Where were you?
Yeah.
He told you should have helped him move.
Yeah.
I don't have a truck. No one asks me anymore.
He gets promiscuous when he has to move.
I hate asking. It's like going to a wedding. Nobody really wants to go to somebody else's wedding. You know, like
if I have time, obligated. I would always try to help. It is nice to not have a truck, though. When you don't have a truck, people don't ask you that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you have a truck, you always get
you're
asked.
Fucked.
Yeah, you're the,
you can borrow my truck. Yeah, truck. If you want to borrow my truck, go ahead. So I say, throw my keys.
Yeah.
So
my advice is to start setting up a long con right now with all your friends. And even if your back is completely healthy, just start always talking about how bad your back is around all your friends. And then they say,
now we know what Dave's
been doing. Then they say, hey, can you help me move? Dude, I really want to.
Yeah.
Like
that's been Dave's bad knee for the last year.
I might be able to help you. No, that's legit. But I might be able to help you unpack stuff, but there's no way I could help you move that stuff.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah. I'll bring you a lasagna. How's that?
Oh, that sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next time I fast, I'm going to have the flock do it. I'm going to see how many people will join me. Yeah, we'll have like a...
I'm sure you'll get
like
some...
Like 20 people would do
I'm
it.
I'm sure you get some dummies that'll do it with you.
Probably will.
There's a few of them.
It's a cool test. I don't know. It's really more OCD than anything. It was like a test of willpower.
Yeah.
It's tough going to bed. The day's fine, man. The day's easy until your friends come in with like fucking...
Going to sleep
falafels
hungry.
Falafels and shit. You're like, get the fuck out of here with your lunch, dude. Come say hi, but don't bring falafels in here.
Yeah, going to sleep hungry is the worst.
It's so hard. So it kind of like decoded something for me, though. And I had forgotten because I don't remember things well. But the last time I did that crazy 7-day one, I don't wake up and eat peanut butter. So it has something to do with like blood sugar, probably for sure. Like an insulin response or something, middle of the night. But what I did notice is, so then last night I ate like rice and hummus and black beans. Like it's fucking all I live off anymore. But I ate, that was my first meal at like 10:30.
Yeah.
And then I went to bed and then I woke up fucking starving at 2 a.m.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, it's something to do with just eat. I just have to not eat.
Yeah.
If I don't eat, it fixes my peanut butter problem.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So I'm drinking Thomas Martinez's Old Putney single malt scotch whiskey 12 year.
I did the clank with that. It's pretty good.
Delicious.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about it.
It's really good.
The Old Putney.
I don't have a memory of any of them. Everyone comes down here.
I remember that one.
Is that one good? And I'm like, I have no idea.
I don't remember what they taste like. Yeah. Sure. It's whiskey.
I know there's a couple that stand out that I like.
Yeah, a couple stand out. And it's one of the reasons I love the robust nature of the wall of whiskey is because now we can pull a bottle a second time and taste it again for the first time and then thank whoever sent it to us.
That happens to me every time. You get four bottles and I would still be able to do that.
Thank you for the Old Putney Thomas Martinez.
Hey, what was that one? No one ever fessed up to bringing it. I lost it now. We read it off Defiant. If you bought us Defiant, let us know who you are. We don't know who bought that.
Yeah.
Did we try it?
Yeah.
We tried it. We didn't try it.
No, we didn't. Oh, we didn't because we didn't know who bought it.
We'll try it on the next episode.
Is it?
It's open. I didn't try it. We didn't try it.
That's not.
Oh, we must have opened it and then not.
We got ready to try it and we didn't.
Okay. Well, tell us who you are.
Patty Larson said we were drunk enough and that we couldn't drink it.
That was it. That's true. That bitch.
Yeah.
With her chapped lips.
Yeah. I never let a whore tell me what to do. Only that once, I guess.
Yeah. You made an exception.
Yeah.
It's the only time it happened.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. Sean Stowers? Stowers? Mm-hmm. Stowers? Mm-hmm. Sean Stowers.
Mm-hmm.
He has feminine hands because he works as a teller in a bank. Mm-hmm. So don't get mad at him.
Is that why he got them?
He developed them from working there. Well, you just have them.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you work at a bank and you're a teller, you just have feminine hands.
They make you soak your hands so you can handle the money better.
Yeah. So he says he knows where babies come from. But when you pull the blanket over your head to do Dutch oven your wife, how is it that aliens can pass through the outermost crust of the atmosphere and not burn up?
It's a complex question, really. First of all, what is a Dutch oven? That'd be my first question.
You don't know what a Dutch oven is?
I haven't heard that.
How do you not know what a Dutch oven is?
Oh, my God.
I know a lot of crazy...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know the Tokyo Sandblaster.
No, this isn't
anything. This isn't a sex move.
No, this isn't.
This is when you're laying in bed and you pull your covers over your wife's head and you fart.
Yeah. I've never done that, yeah.
Yeah.
So. I don't have stinky farts is the problem. It's just air, yeah. Just loud air.
Your smell's off. You can't smell.
No, it's not that. I've smelled some farts. I mean, sometimes it could happen, but in general, no.
So, well, Brent learned what the Dutch oven was.
That's right. The answer is Illyrium-115, which cannot be created inside of a gravity well. So humans have never recreated it, but their engines use Illyrium, as do their shielding. So if you have an Illyrium shield, you don't have to worry about the heat coming through when you do reentry. Oh,
that's probable and possible. Yeah. So I can't argue it.
We can't. It's not 100%, but that's
my guess.
That's the guess.
I don't possess the intellect to argue it, really.
Yeah. Right.
I'm agreeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I concur.
Yes, indeed.
Techo winner. I picked Lloyd Henry. Are you familiar with the name, Brent?
I didn't get to look at the map.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, well, he just posted it. It was simple.
Participation last time I checked.
Simple. Picture of Jack Nicklaus shaking his head like crazy eyed, saying yes, he wants some techo.
Jack Nicklaus or Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
The golfer?
So that's Jack Nicklaus.
Wait. Jack Nicholson.
I fuck that one up every time. I avoid talking about him because I know I'm going to say
that. I knew when I wrote it, I probably wrote the golfer down. Jack Nicklaus. Yeah, because there's Nicklaus golf clubs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nicholson. Jack Nicholson.
So wait, which one's right?
Nicholson.
Nicholas Cage is right.
Jack Nicholson Cage.
Jack Nicholson Cage. That is the actor.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll remember it that way.
Jack Nicholson Cage.
Honestly, that seems like that doesn't come up a lot, but it plagues me. I panic. I'm like, I don't know which one it is. I'm going to say it wrong.
Jack Nicholas and Jack Nicholson Cage.
Yeah. Man, I wish I had an impression.
Yeah.
You have one of those?
Of what?
The golf guy? No.
Golf guy, no.
Jack Nicholson Cage.
Take my face off.
He was wearing sunglasses and slicked his hair back. That was impressive. Where did you get the sunglasses?
Right, that's why there was a delay.
Yeah, we had to pause.
So Lloyd Henry, Lloyd, you're the hot sack winner.
Aaron, I'm going to give, we're out of Chipotle. I'm going to drive to a store and find it. I found out that when I said, who wants some hot sauce? Everybody in that fucking post was like, I want the Chipotle. And I realized.
That's the hardest one to get.
It's super hard to get. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm going to go.
Chipotle and the Caribbean are the two.
Caribbean I have.
Yeah, but those two.
I see the Chipotle all the time at the store. I don't see the Caribbean very often, but
all the stores have. I mean, here we can get them. We have a lot of Mexican.
What do you see? You see the Albertsons?
No, they don't have any at Albertsons. Fuck Albertsons.
Usually,
so where are you going? I thought you shopped at like exclusively.
If you shop at like a basic bitch market, it's going to have red and green if you're lucky. And then if you shop at like a Mexican market, it'll have triple X.
Dude, the weird
it'll have
ones,
black label.
The jalapeno and the Chipotle are like the fucking weird ones. You don't find those a lot.
The last three, the Caribbean, the Chipotle, and the.
I like to point out that scale. I know you commented on it. Mm-hmm. It's way fucking off.
Yeah, it's weird.
That was the heat scale? Yeah, yeah, that was way off. They posted a picture in the group.
Somebody was saying the Black Label was hot.
And that, like, the Chipotle was one of the hottest. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they haven't had Triple X. Mixed up.
The guy that did art has not tasted the sauce. Right. Whoever drew that was like, oh, I don't know. Nobody will call me on this shit.
This one sounds hot.
They need to ask some fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just need to take a quick survey in the group and then update their info.
And Brent's favorite part of the show, Sculpt Member of the Month, for April, Rye Amick. He thinks his milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. And they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right.
He responded. I asked him last week while we were talking how you say his name, but it's lost. Fuck my messages.
I can teach you, but I have to charge.
Still going. Have you ever watched
I commend your commitment.
Have you ever seen the Big Fat Quiz? It's a British pop culture quiz. It's like a 2-hour long show. Like Russell Brand, a bunch of British comedians are on there. Not a lot of Americans on there, but it's a really funny show. But they have a segment where, like, this famous British newscaster gives the news.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. He'll do like the milkshake song.
Yeah.
In its entirety as a newscast. But he makes it sound like some shit went down. And then they're like, what popular song is that? But somehow he'll do it without the hook or the chorus, or you don't know quite what song it is. And you have to know, but it's amazing. Yeah. If you haven't seen Big Fat Quiz, look that shit up on YouTube. They're all on there.
That's pretty cool.
It's a really funny show.
I love that show.
So if you want to be a Sculpt Member of the Month, you're probably going to want to be on Patreon. I think all the last times I haven't mentioned that, but probably going to want to be a patron.
And so you're fixed is what you're saying. That's fine.
Well, I'm thinking if you're the Sculpt Member of the Month, like you're going to need to be dedicated.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't just have some random fuckface peasant.
Technically, the Sculpt is about 320 people strong. If we want to get real technical, we want to be electricians about it. Yeah.
Right.
Those are the people.
Those are the people who are joining us on the comment.
Yeah. Those are the black belts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have the fuckface peasants that they're there.
Yeah.
But they're still in training. We haven't accepted them yet.
So I'm you mentioned British comedians and I all the time when I drive, I listen to the comedy channels on Sirius Radio. And I recently discovered that there's one that I haven't been listening to, and it's called Canada Laughs. And I was like, this is going to be fucking legit, because there's a whole host of amazing comedians that come out of Canada.
When you listen to that, though, like, do you look like what's that guy's name? French. What's the name? Third Rock from the Sun. Yeah. Do you like squint your eyes like fucking French?
No.
No. You're missing out.
Yeah.
Everything's
you have to pretend like you're you have to be able to look through the eyes of the Canadian.
Yeah.
Right.
And you squint. Maybe that's the part. Because
the thing is, I tune it in and I'm like, this is going to be so fucking legit. Norm Macdonald, who I think is the funniest living human being, is Canadian. Mike Myers is Canadian. Alex
Jim Carrey is Canadian. Jim Carrey is Canadian.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know. Alex Canada. Trebek isn't
he's awesome, though. I don't know if he is.
Alex with his Dago mustache and his greasy hair.
But
I just said no more racial slurs.
Tons of comedians that go into Second City in Chicago, et cetera. So I know Canada is a funny place, and this station fucking blows.
It's got great rappers, too.
The comedians
story.
Yeah, you should fucking. I was so stoked about the station. It's fucking horrible. I keep listening to it, and I'm waiting for one funny Canadian to show up.
That's because
apparently all the really funny anyone's leave.
Well, no, what happens is they come to America, they get Americanized, and then they're funny. When it's Canadian, it's just not funny anymore.
Pure,
they're talking about hockey.
Pure Canadian is
Something happened at the hockey rink in the bathroom.
True. That might be targeted towards a Canadian audience. They're like, the prime minister.
Canada-centric jokes. Okay. It's just not funny.
Yeah. It's just Canada.
So anyway, expectation was super high because I know that the Canadian is a funny person, but this station is not funny.
Well, speaking of not funny, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny, actually.
He is pretty funny. Yeah.
I actually want to see stand-up stuff. Yeah. It's not stand-up.
I want to go see him.
It is like some jokes. Like, I watched some of them.
Oh, his Broadway.
Yeah. He's like storytelling.
No, it's like storytelling.
Yeah. He has a Broadway one-man show.
Yeah. He shows a fight, or he'll show a fight on the screen and then talk shit about himself and
funny.
No, he's very funny, and like he's very funny in interviews. He seems very self-aware of like what's funny about him, and he seems when you see like The Hangover or Mike Tyson Mysteries, he seems like willing. Like, I mean, one of the first things in comedy is you have to be willing to embarrass yourself and exploit your flaws to get a laugh, and you don't think of Tyson as someone willing to do that.
He's scary like Joe Pesci in Casino or whatever, though. Because he's like, he's turn doing on some you. Shit, and he's like, he's allowed to laugh, but you're not sure if you're okay to laugh.
Yeah, you start laughing, he's going to turn on you like a fucking pit bull and bite your ear off.
And I do recommend, to like, before we even start talking about Mike Tyson, those of you who haven't seen a lot of Mike Tyson, two things. First of all, get to the YouTubes and just search like best Mike Tyson knockouts.
Here's the funny
thing. And just watch this motherfucker.
As I was doing research, people. I was like, oh, let me look up Tyson, this guy. And then I was like, oh, cool. It's only like, it's a 4-minute fight. Oh, right. It's a 2-minute fight.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can watch all these fights really quick. Yeah. And then I start playing a 4-minute video and it's a minute and 30 seconds and they're still announcing. I'm like, what? How long is this fucking fight?
Yeah.
He hasn't even bumped gloves yet. It's a minute and 30 in. It's only a 4-minute video.
Yeah. No, he's usually
30 seconds
monster,
into a round. He fucking destroys somebody.
He's a monster.
I remember my friends like across the street, their grandparents got a Mike Tyson fight. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the anticipation of watching the fight, you know, like, and I was young, you know what I mean? But like, I wasn't really into boxing, but you know about Mike Tyson.
Everybody. Right? Yeah.
And like, they got it on pay-per-view and like the, you know, the whole build up to the fight, you know, and it was supposed to be against this Irish guy, you know, and it was supposed to be a great match. And they kept talking about it, man.
That Kevin Fitzpatrick guy.
I have no idea who it was now, but he got fucking reamed. Like fucking, he was like 1-2, 1-2, boom, knockout.
It's unbelievable.
Right. Tyson won. No, I know what you're talking about.
And it's, and the thing that's ridiculous is it's like, it's not like he surprised him with a new move.
No.
Like they were training to not let this happen to them. And then, sorry, too good. It's just like, you can't stop it from happening.
It's the peekaboo, dude. His shit, Christ. When you watch him in the gym training, that little peekaboo duck shit, and not even just in the gym, but in the fucking ring, was just insane. He doesn't look real.
No.
It looks like shit is sped up.
Yeah.
It makes me slightly like sick at my stomach.
It's like slow motion.
Fight that dude. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Oh, dude, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's not like the people he's hitting can't take a fucking punch. Like they're professional boxers. I mean, he was just.
And some of the punches look glancing, like it bounces off the back of their head. Mm-hmm. And then you just see them and they're trying so hard to stand up.
Yeah.
And they're gone. They're
and towards the end of his like real high boxing career, I was in college and. One of my roommates and I had just graduated college actually when the Holyfield 2 fight, which we'll get to, happened.
Holyfield.
That's a Christmas
Holyfield
fight.
That's right.
It was in December. Yeah. It's the Holyfield.
Yeah, everybody in the audience kisses.
But my roommate had a bootleg cable box and we always referred to it as Free Per View. So every time a Tyson fight came on, we would watch it on Free Per View and we were never disappointed. Right. We were hoping it would be 30 seconds long because we didn't fucking pay for it. And we were never disappointed because he would just get in there and wreck people. So
sometimes a scrambled titty would just come in the side.
Yeah, just
the Playboy like, channel would tune in.
At the knockout punch. Yeah. It's like fucking girl. Titty. Like, oh.
Girl, that's kind of, no, that's we kind wanted of annoying.
Free Per View,
but...
not Rape Per View. Yeah. But damn it.
It was bittersweet.
And the other thing to look at is YouTube. Google Tyson gets mad at reporter. Have you guys seen that video?
I don't know. I watched like an hour and a half.
Terrifying.
I watched the Tyson one that you had to pay for. It was like $3 on YouTube. And I watched that Tyson documentary. It was really good. The whole thing is really an interview of him, except for their like artistic like use of like weird. There was some weirdness of like having him repeat his words and cut the screen up. I was like, quit getting the art scene. Let me hear him fucking talk. But his interviews were just hilarious, dude. He was talking about being in Tokyo and he said he was having sex with Asian girls like he was eating grapes. I was like, that is fucking funny,
on this, dude. This video is fairly recent and he just goes to some morning show. I'm not even sure what he's ready to plug, but he's just on some morning show, probably in like a major television market in the U.S.
Oh, it's with the tattoo and everything. And,
and the reporter is just asking him questions, and then I think at one point he asks him about the rape charges.
Yeah, that's
and
where you don't go.
Tyson gets fucking pissed. Scary. And even says like, and I, whoever was with him was like, oh, we weren't supposed to bring that up. And like, and then he like presses the question or something. And Tyson's just like, he's like, I'll knock you the fuck out. Like he's like standing up
you
and
you're
just, and
that?
You just see the, you see the fucking blood dripping out of this guy's face.
That guy was trying to be like the extreme aggressive, like investigative reporter. I'm going to get the story.
No.
You'd be safer going to Afghanistan to get the story and say some shit about rape to Mike Tyson.
Tyson's going
to
knock that's your like, fucking that, block off. Dude.
I mean, I'm sure that's like the thing everybody wants to know,
right?
You know, like you want, you know, to talk to him about it, but
he just says no. Like he's in the interview, he says he's gonna say no.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And that's okay, moving on,
right?
Like don't
ask him. Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
So I was interested because I knew a little bit about Tyson. I knew that he was raised at some point by his boxing coach and different things like that. But I was kind of interested to hear his background, and I was very interested to hear how fucking quickly he built a name as a professional boxer.
But I found discrepancies between like what I was reading and what I saw like in the interviews with him on mm-hmm. some of the timeline. Like when he goes with is it Customato? Is that how you say it? Customato?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it said that his mom died and left him to Customato, but he ends up in like the juvenile system with a boxing coach and shit, and then the boxing coach hands him off to Customato.
Well, no. I think what happened.
I watched him say that. And then everything you read says that like different. He was left to Customato. He was in the juvenile system like 38 times. Like,
well, no, everything that I read was that he was in the juvenile system and that's where he met this other,
and that guy hands him trainer. Off to Customato when he's leaving the juvenile system.
Right. But right? That was just, he was training with Customato more casually. And then when his mom died
What I'm saying. All the things you read say that.
Right.
And he says, no, he was in, because it talks about how he was afraid when he left the juvenile system that if he didn't have that boxing instructor, the boxing instructor in the juvenile system at like the, what was it called? It starts with a T. The place that he was at said, I don't want you to go back to your neighborhood. You need to go see this guy. And he introduces him to Customato. And right. He talks about how he doesn't trust anyone but the other boxing coach.
Right.
And he had to like let his guard down, and Customato like lets him into his house and shit.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to make, because I know that like you don't watch documentaries. I knew like the red part was gonna say that, and it's like out of the timeline,
right.
Saying that it was like he was left from his dying mom to Customato, and he raised him from there on out.
It was
like it's a glitch.
Tryon Bulls Boys School,
right?
Is where he was at.
Yeah, there you go. I kept wanting to say Tyson Boys School. I was like, I know it's not Tyson. It's
Tryon. Yeah, weird.
So Tyson was born in Brooklyn. He knew Tony, but
Tony.
He had a pretty fucking shitty upbringing. He was always in poor neighborhoods. One of the things that I read said that he had been arrested. He had been in jail 38 times by the age of 13.
Yeah. Like he is it's an amazing story to go from that to where he was. And even with the controversy that happens and the fallout and stuff that he ends up with.
He's like the male Oprah with a rape charge.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the perfect way to look at it. and apparently like when he was super young, he was the target of bullying. And did you guys read what led to...
Let me stop you right there.
Fist fight he ever got in.
I would kill someone for that.
Let me stop you right there. Okay. You said read.
I'm sorry.
I did actually read that.
Did you guys see what led to his first ever fist fight?
Yeah. So an older, larger youth ripped off one of his pet pigeon's head and threw it at him. And he fucked him up. It's cool too. I watched Tyson talk the story about that. He said he had never.
Were you getting
fought.
Mad when you were watching that?
It upset me. I would fuck someone up for that.
And this is what's funny, because in the Mike Tyson Mysteries, which you haven't seen it, go fucking watch it. It's one
I
of
saw
the
some
funniest
clips. Ever. Yeah, and he has so pigeons in that, right?
You've never
got
a pigeon. Seen...
I haven't.
Oh yeah. My god!
And the pigeon.
It's
the,
great.
The pigeon
great.
Is played by Norm Macdonald.
Okay. Yeah,
fucking fantastic.
Yeah, the pigeon is Norm. He is Norm Macdonald. Huh? Yeah, yeah. The Mike Tyson Mysteries are
so
awesome.
Fucking funny.
No, but yeah, there were kids were making fun of him for the fact that he's poor in a poor environment.
Right.
Like literally when his father takes off, his supposed who he thinks is his father leaves and abandons the family, and they have to move into an even worse neighborhood where literally he's a poor black kid and he's still fucking scared. He said he was getting robbed at gunpoint, mm-hmm. like when he's a little kid, for the quarters and change in his pockets. Yeah, yeah. He's getting robbed and making fun of him and shit. And then finally he gets in that pigeon fight at some point. And beats up a bigger kid. He has no idea he can even do it. He's not fought before, and gains some respect, and kids stop messing with him. He said he was allowed to wear his jewelry. I was like, what jewelry do you have in your fucking poor ass house? Like, you live in this house because they didn't start hanging
out
with
kids. Yeah.
They started stealing shit.
So he joined a gang at 11.
Did you see where he saw him?
Called the Jolly Stompers.
He saw these kids. Like, he said he was at the roller rink or some shit, and these kids were coming in adult clothes. Like, they were like only a year older than him, but they were wearing like trench coats and sunglasses, and they're all fucking, they were on mopeds and shit. Like, they had Vespas.
Oh, they had
and
a scooter
he said,
game.
He's like,
damn. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Damn. They were like, you know, they were like 15 year old pimps. Like, he said, these kids were, he's like, who are those fuck kids? They're fly. They're badass. Like, who are they? And then he started hanging out with them. And because he was like the little guy, they would like sneak him in the fucking window and shit. And they was crazy stuff they did. He said they would walk up to drug houses and act like they're going to buy drugs. And when they opened the door, The rest of them would rush in and then rob the drug houses. And Mike Tyson was the little dude. So he would run up and get all the stuff out of their pockets and then get it and go. And they would get out. But sometimes it would
be
caught.
The Coleman of the, the Jolly Stampers.
Yeah, that's what I kind of pictured. Yeah. He'd run around, clear their pockets as a little kid.
What's you talking about, Willith?
It was coming. It was bound to happen. I had visions of like, what is going to happen this episode? There will be some combination of that. But he said that most of the kids from his childhood are either dead in jail or like doped out somewhere. There's no person that is okay from his childhood. He said when they would get caught,
he was the 1%.
They were getting killed almost certainly in those houses. And he was just doing that shit. And he said he never knew his mom, that she, he said he never saw her be proud of him and never knew his mom well enough to actually know, like ask her a question or anything. He didn't really know her. She was just like this maternal figure that like made sure there was food when he got home. And she just looked at him like, well, he's not dead yet. And he fucking ran around like a wild child in the neighborhood robbing. And then she would be like, where the fuck did you get those clothes? I know you don't have money to pay for that.
And I found an interview. I'll read this blurb because it kind of gives you a insight into his fucking past. Mm-hmm. But this was an interview with him asking him what his childhood was like. Even though I don't want to, I feel I must read it in his voice since it is a quote from him.
Let the games begin.
But it explains the type of lifestyle that he had. So he says in this interview, we were beefing with these guys called the Puma Boys. It was 1976 and I lived in Brownsville, Brooklyn, and these guys were from my neighborhood. At that time, I was running with the Rutland Road crew called the Cat and a bunch of Caribbean guys from the nearby Crown Heights. We were a burglary team and some of our gangster friends had an altercation with the Puma Boys. So we were going to park to back them up. We normally didn't deal with guns, but these were our friends. So we stole a bunch of shit. Some pistols, a 357 Magnum, a long M1 rifle with a bayonet attached from World War II. You never knew what you'd find when you broke into people's houses. So we're walking through the streets holding our guns and nobody runs up on us. No cops are around to stop us. We didn't even have a big bag to put the rifle in. So we just took turns carrying it a few blocks. Yo, there he goes, my friend, Haitian Ron said. The guy with the red Pumas and the red mock neck. When we started running, the huge crowd in the park opened up like Moses parting the Red Sea. It was a good thing they did because boom, one of my friends opened fire. Everybody scrambled when they heard the gun. I realized that some of the Puma Boys had taken cover between the parked cars in the street. I had the M1 rifle, and I turned around quickly to see this big guy with a pistol pointed toward me. What the fuck are you doing here, he said to me. It was my older brother, Rodney. Get the fuck out of here. I just kept walking and left the park and went home. I was 10 years old.
So everyone knows I was dying. My head hurts. My face hurts. But that audio is so golden that I fucking moved away from the microphone and laughed into my arms so that I can preserve it for everyone in the future. Oh, man. Yeah.
So I might have buried.
Did you phonetically type that with teenagers and shit?
No.
Damn. You did that real time.
I might have buried the lead. But the fact is, when he was 10, he was creeping on a gang called the Puma Boys with a fucking M1 rifle with a bayonet on it. No, and his brother pulled a gun on him and told him to fucking go home.
They were the Puma Boys.
So
wow, that was really good. At times it broke, but at times it was perfect. That was impressive. Oh,
thank you.
Lucky I didn't suit it. I got my pithin on my shoulder. I can't do it. My Mike Tyson impression is so bad.
I just love the
it
memes,
seems
dude.
Easy too, like so to have memes. A lisp.
Yeah,
seems easy.
It's not super easy. Yeah, I wasn't getting the register quite high enough, I don't think.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
No.
But anyway.
I think it's not necessary to do it for the rest of the episode. Dave filled the quota. We don't even have to try. Because if we do, we won't. True. It'll be.
Mine's always bad. You can go back. I need to find the episode that I lost because mine's just bad.
Yeah, we had like a consequence to a game and Brad had to finish
that was
the episode out.
That was the one that Mo deGrasse Tyson came out.
Maybe.
I think that was when that came around.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Holding in my laugh made me sweat. That's weird.
My eyes are sweating. Yeah,
that's weird. It feels hot in here because I held in my laugh.
So he gets into all this shit, arrested all the time, et cetera. And then he ends up meeting up with Cus D'Amato. And his first name is Cus. And his last name is D'Amato. So
yeah, I didn't realize I saw
the
his tombstone, his epitaph, and I was like, that's what they're saying.
How does Mike Tyson say his name?
Cuss, calls him Cuss.
Yeah. Cuss D'Amato.
Cuss D'Amato.
Yeah.
I think he just called him like Cuss for short. Yeah. Yeah.
Cuss.
So yeah, he ends up taking him under his wing, ends up officially, I don't know if he officially adopted him or not, or if he was just a foster.
He takes him to the house, and the crazy thing is, man, because it was such a risk, because Mike Tyson was a fucking animal. He was a street kid, dude. And he even says himself, he was looking around. They lived in like a fucking 14-bedroom Victorian mansion.
Yeah.
And he was like, look at these stupid white people. I could just rob them. I could just rob them right now.
Right.
And he didn't, because he actually respected Cuss. Right. Like, he respected him.
And from what I read, Cuss had done this before. Like, he and his wife would find troubled Utes from New York who showed boxing promise. And they would take them in to get them off the streets. They would show them boxing. And then they would try to turn their life around through boxing. So it was kind of a thing.
Like the blind side.
Yeah.
Old white lady.
There was very blind side. Black, watching the videos. But no, yeah, he at the dinner table, you know what I mean? He basically became his like adopted son.
Right. And he forced him to do well in school. Mm-hmm. And then he would only train him at night if he did well in school that day. He started to get him to do amateur boxing. And one thing that a lot of people might not know, though, because people might think, why the fuck would you do amateur boxing? But the whole point to do amateur boxing is you can't box in the Olympics if you have professional fights under your belt. So a lot of boxers who are really good, their trainers try to make them go amateur on the odds they can get into the Olympics. And then as soon as they either do get in the Olympics or don't, they say, fuck it, go pro.
Right.
So,
which he did great, but it was junior Olympics. And I think the problem was, at his age, he pretty much like, before he would be able to go to the Olympics, he was 20 or something.
Right.
When he became the heavyweight champ.
Right.
So,
well, by that point he got gold in the junior Olympics. And then when he went to the Olympic trials,
84 summer Olympics in Los Angeles,
and he lost
to Tillman, who actually won the heavyweight gold.
Right.
So
who Tyson beat later.
Yeah. Later. Yeah.
Like, once he was a
that's a learning experience.
Absolutely.
If he wouldn't have took that loss, who he could have ended up losing and not being as good as he was.
Right. It's crazy. He was horrified to go to that first fight too. Like, he told the story that he said, I got to go to the store. And he was like standing there thinking, I'm going to get on a bus and just never come back. He loved training. He loved the process of it, but to actually compete, he was freaking out.
Yeah.
And then he got in there and fucking,
Right. And he didn't just, I mean, his first pro fight, he didn't just won. It was a fucking one round knockout. It was like Tyson all the way. And this is what happened right away. So he was so quick and he hit so fucking hard. Even for like, people were astounded that someone this young could be this skilled and deliver.
He's 18 years old and he has 15 fights in his first year as a professional.
Yeah.
So from the time that he's 18 to 19 years old, he has 15 professional fights.
Yep.
That's a high school kid, dude. High school kids are 18.
Yeah. Just out of high school.
And that year is where he earns the nickname Iron Mike,
because
no one can fucking touch him in those 15 fights. He knocks the fuck out of everybody. And it reaches the point that within the first year, professional boxers who are contenders and shit are afraid to get in the ring with him. Because he's such a fucking monster. Yeah. Like, no one wants
to
fuck
with him. And he talks about it too. He said during the stare down, he would just fucking never break eye contact. And he said he knew when he had him, he said they would look down in a way only for a second. And then they would mad dog him the whole time. He's like, nope, you already fucked up. I got you.
Right.
Yeah, he knew. He got in their head.
He saw they looked down and away for a second. And he noticed this little sense of fear. But he said he was horrified in the locker room, like warming up in the dressing room.
Nerves,
he
gets
down
thing,
and he said, as he walked down the pathway, he became more and more confident, more and more confident. And then he said, when he got into the ring, he said, adrenaline. I'm a god. Yeah. No one can fucking touch me.
Right.
And that's how, like, you know, kids see professionals nowadays doing stuff, you know, guys doing backflips on motorcycles and stuff. Those guys are shitting their pants nervous.
Yeah.
And they've done it 100 times.
Right.
They've done it 1,000 times.
Right.
You know, every time you go out, no matter how many times you do it, you're nervous.
Right.
You know, so it's
and Brad, you told me you get that way when you groom poodles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
very nervous.
Poodles are vicious.
I mean, and their owners.
Right.
Their owners.
Poodles actually have one of the highest bite rates.
And you have to deliver perfection on their coat.
It has to be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. The real fear there is the poodle owner. They're pretentious fucks.
They
yeah.
bite too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Kind of like people who carry around the bitch bottles, the water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
The,
you can judge people by their dog.
Yeah. Yeah, but
like
I think, I mean, it's a
you motherfucker,
you know, it's one of those things.
Loves, yeah, dachshunds. Dave loves wieners. You know what I mean? He's got like four of them. Like, fucking.
He likes wieners with legs.
Yeah.
He wants that's to pretty much it. Any guy.
Yeah.
A wiener with legs.
He wants a wiener that's not his in his lap all the time. And he wants to hold it close to his face.
That's right.
You're just like with two wieners in
that's
there.
Why that's why you have a hairless wiener. Huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, but I was just thinking, like, even Mike Tyson, this motherfucker is the best in the world. He's a nervous wreck in the locker room.
Exactly.
You know, like it's crazy, you know, like to overcome something like that, to be able to take that.
There are people that aren't nervous about shit. It does exist, but man, I think it's the rarity.
I don't know. It's very rare. I think if they say they're not nervous, it's not true.
Did you get nervous? Like the only individual sports that I did track. I wasn't usually nervous for track, but I mean, and that was like throwing, I'm not going against someone wrestling though. Dude, I would fucking just, oh man, my gut.
You start wanting to throw up. You start, you got a pit. Yeah, it feels like somebody kick you in the balls.
Yeah.
And then, I'm
weird with nerves, because when it comes to being nervous or intimidated by something, I don't give a fuck at all until the instant I have to do it.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be worse.
Like it's like even when I did karate, I was like, oh, you're gonna have to spar sensei, and everybody be nervous. It's like your fucking promotion, and when you know he's gonna fucking knock your block off. No, it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it would be, I'm gearing up. I'm totally cool. Like you would get in the ring, and like when you had to like touch gloves, I was like, holy, it would just like flood over me, and I was like, motherfucker.
Well, see this, so this
but
is
it was like, luckily it was like it's such a brief thing before it hits me.
Yeah, like with me. Anytime I did a competition, like in judo or anything, like, so the last competition I did worlds for jiu-jitsu, and I'd never done worlds before. I hadn't been doing jiu-jitsu that long. Right. I have really bad habits in jiu-jitsu from judo, and I wasn't nervous at all. I already knew it was a bad sign. Anytime I did anything great in judo, I was a fucking nervous wreck.
Really?
Nervous fucking wreck.
Right.
From the point when I woke up in the morning until it happened, I had fucking spaghetti legs. You know what I mean? Fucking bad.
Right.
And so like when I went to world, anytime I did really shitty, I would get kind of tired, and I never had any nerves. Like I wasn't nervous. So like, judo nationals, I was fucking nervous, and you win. And there was times where I did states once, and I wasn't nervous at all. I got fucking my ass whooped.
Right.
You know, so anytime, like, you start figuring that out about yourself, which is why you need to kind of lose, you know, you lose and you figure out like, oh, like this is what's going to happen, you know? So it's kind of weird.
Dude,
everybody's different.
Fucking kids are dicks. Like I was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And we had a home. Yeah. Johnny Fatcock.
Yeah.
They call me Johnny back then. I was at North High, and like, it was a fucking home tournament or whatever, tournament match. And all my fucking buddies like, hey man, I'm coming to watch you tonight. You fucking pussy. Like just talking shit.
Yeah.
You're going to get pinned. You're going to get beat. Fucking pussy, 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 pussy. Just talking all this shit. And I was like, you guys are fucking dicks. Fuck off. Like, leave me alone. I'm fucking nervous enough. You should be nervous. You're going to fucking lose. And I was like, oh my God. Like, it's like all my football buddies that were just like sitting in the bleachers, and I look up there, and they're just like shaking their head going pussy, like saying all that. I was like, God. And then all the fucking cheerleaders are right there. It was like the first time I had to like wrestle in front of my friends. It's normally at some other high school or some tournament out of town, and you don't know anyone there other than your guys.
You lose
team.
And walk off. You just gotta come back sucks. Like, ah, I didn't do good.
And I fucking beat that dude in 20 seconds. I was like, yes, fuck you guys. Like it was like the best, dude shot, I sprawled, front head and arm, Russian roll, fucking pin, boom, over. And then it was like, oh my God. They had to fucking eat that shit. It was great.
Suck my dick. Yeah, he got up and yelled it in the bleachers. Like,
lots of times that didn't happen. Yeah. But that time when it mattered, 20 seconds, it was great. Yeah.
So Tyson becomes a fucking phenomenon. In his first 28 fights, he wins 26 by knockout or TKO. And 16 of his 28 fights are first round knockouts.
I just think it's lazy. He didn't do all of them like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he got lazy and sloppy in the
end. That's true, yeah.
Because the first one's quick. First round knockout. And then as he started getting into it, he got a little overconfident and just,
but that's the thing I'm tripping on is like, if he started with like the majority of his fights being first round knockouts, why was everyone tripping balls later in his career when all of his pay-per-views were first round knockouts? It's like, this is what he's done his entire fucking career. It's not like it happened all of a sudden. Like he's been like that.
You mean excitement or anger and disappointment?
People were mad because, you know, because
they just spent fucking,
just because it's a bittersweet thing. It's like going to the doctor because you're like, God damn it, something's wrong. And you get there, the doctor's like, I can't find anything. You're like, you should be like, oh, thank God I didn't find anything. Be like, God damn it, my stomach was hurting. Something's wrong. It's that kind of thing where you're like excited to see it, but you know.
Yeah.
But you're out $80.
Yeah. I mean, it happened with Ronda Rousey, you know what I mean? Not too long ago in UFC, you know, like everybody wanted to see a long, good fight, but it's like, nope. And then you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
You're mad about it, but
right.
you're not.
You right. Know, like, exactly. Yeah.
So it was like when I had sex with Brad for the first time, it was really exciting. And then he was done in 30 seconds. And I was like, what the fuck, man? Yeah.
So I don't like to waste my time. I got shit to do.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me.
Because of this record and because of his fucking ferociousness and his anger, et cetera, he ends up getting a lot of media attention in his first year, more than most boxers ever will.
Well, boxing is pretty much dead now.
Pretty much.
I think the death of
cable television and the rise of UFC pretty much did in boxing. Because I remember, like, back in the day, like HBO. Like HBO Sports was built on boxing. Oh, yeah. Like every weekend there were like dope fights on HBO.
It was that pay-per-view money too. I think maybe the internet and illegal fucking streaming. Yeah,
it might have been Don King doing some shit. Yeah. Like once everything became,
I just think
you need a purse of fucking $30 million and fucking.
And it's not as exciting. You know, now you can watch somebody fucking hammer fist somebody's face into the ground, you know, like, and boxing just became,
I gotta be honest. I still prefer boxing over UFC.
Boxing is a skill of its own.
I love watching boxing. Like it's just,
I've always wondered why kickboxing didn't get bigger. You know what I mean? Like kickboxing.
It should have been the transition, right? It should have been
You boxing and it starts losing and then you start getting kickboxers and it just becomes, because kickboxing is fucking badass. Yeah. Muay Thai. Yeah. Oh, fucking Muay Thai is nuts, fucking insane to watch. So yeah, it's just, I don't know.
So at the same time, right when he's on his upward curve, this is where Customato dies of pneumonia. In November of 1985.
It's really a catalyst for him going crazy, though. I think it's like it's like Obi-Wan died, and then Tyson went to the dark side, though. Yeah. Like Don King stepped and he gets him to leave, like, his trainer and his fucking promoter, and he switches over to Don King, and, like, it gets shady. He gets fucking baptized in Don King's church. So, like, you know, he starts worrying about money more than he lost the passion for it.
And so by the age of 20 in 1986, in his professional fights, he has a 22-0 record. 21 of the professional fights are won by knockout, which is just fucking ridiculous. Not even technical knockout, just 21 knockout. Of 22 are fucking knockouts.
And his still overall ranking in like boxing history, though, is like,
yeah, that's why I'm tripping.
It's like 15th and 16th. And I'm like, who the fuck are these other guys? I want to see this list. Right. I was going to pull up the list to try to see, like, who the fuck are they calling? I mean, it must be like the Muhammad Ali and like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
I'm also wondering if it's because,
well, Floyd Mayweather has a higher record, more fights, and hasn't lost.
It wasn't overall record though. It was like, it was other things. Like he was ranked like 15th, 16th. Only in hardest hitting was he number one or something.
Right.
But a lot of them, he was like 15th and 16th.
I wonder though, if like once he fucking had the Holyfield 2 fight and everything went south, he kept doing some bullshit fights for a while. And I bet those things pulled his record down.
He ranks 15th in the boxing records ranking for the greatest heavyweight boxer in history. Ranked number 16 for the list of 100 greatest punches of all time. How is he 16 for the greatest punch? There's some shit that looks like a fucking cartoon where he uppercuts people and their feet come off the ground like a fucking like Mortal Kombat fucking video game.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's 16. I want to see top 15. Yeah. Man. God, that's crazy. Yeah. And then number one, though, for ESPN's list of the hardest hitting. I think there's some more in there. But yeah, 15 and 16, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
How is he not the best punch?
I have no idea.
Sugar Ray Robinson, number one.
Is that what it is?
Record 173, 19 and 6, 108 KOs.
Jesus Christ.
Christ.
You know why? That's when white people still thought they could box. 99 of those were some skinny white Irish guy that had his fucking dukes up. Yeah.
You want to do some fisticuffs?
I am a pugilist.
Yeah. And it was just when they were trying to.
I don't know, Sugar.
Like,
he probably had some good matches. You know, I don't know.
Oh, I'm not taking anything from Sugar. But that's, you know, I bet he beat the fuck out of a bunch of white guys.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy. But in a short span, Tyson ends up unifying all three of the big belts. He wins all three of the big belts, so he's like the fucking champion.
Yeah, he just cleans up. He said he wore the belt to the grocery store and shit. But who's gonna say anything?
Exactly,
right?
Dude.
He's just buying shit for no reason.
And I think the thing is, like, when he gets that mad dog and he fucking sees people's souls break and they look away, like, I honestly think that somehow his high voice and his lisp don't take away from it. I think they make it worse.
No, you get scared because it's like baiting you. You know, it's like a fish like, with a worm on a hook.
Hey guys, want to go out? Yeah. You want to go out to dinner after we get done?
Go and say something. Go and say something right now.
Hey, you want to say something to me? You got something to say to my face?
It's just this dichotomy of like you'd be talking to him at a press tour, and he would have to be saying that, but then you're like, wait, is this the fucking guy that I keep watching the tapes of? Like he knocks everybody's block off.
Yeah, and he's over there just petting a pigeon, like just fucking.
It's an unexpected thing.
This fucking little Timmy, he's retarded.
He looks like such a fucking like alpha male, like scary motherfucker. And then that comes out. Did I ever tell you the story that we were at El Torito and the fucking waiter walked up?
No.
And I thought I was on a hidden camera show. We're sitting there and he walks up and we're like, da da da. Okay, he's gonna bring chips and sauce. And he's like, and we like fucking stop and look up. He's all, you like a tata margarita? And we're all, I'm sorry. He's like, that's a chips and the margarita. And we're like, what the fuck? And then we all look at each other like it's a joke, right? Like he's kidding. We get ready to laugh. And he's like, oh, maybe I could bring you something else. Maybe some appetizers. And we were like, holy shit, this is real.
Yeah.
And then he walks away and like we all looked at each other like, are we on a fucking hidden TV show or something?
Did you ask him around?
Did you ask him if he saved Princess Peach?
He fucking faced Mario.
It's me. Would you like a margarita?
It was worse than Mario. I'm probably not doing it justice. It was so unbelievable
that
I don't know how he made the job interview. It was at the El Torito on the way to fucking like Saga Swap Meet or whatever. Like there was an El Torito somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
When he's gone
in,
now.
In Valencia.
But how did that interview go down? We're like, eh, it'll be fine. He can do it. He's served.
Yeah,
like,
he's good.
He's good. He offers you all kinds of things.
He does an interview. He's like, yes. Actually, yeah, that's not a problem. I'm quite confident. And then he gets in there. He's like, okay, I got a job. It's okay. They can get me now. I bet he makes it past 90 days probation. He's like, my throat is killing me.
Now it's discrimination.
Check this guy, Sam Langford, who I've heard of. He has 179, 30, and 40. 120 knockouts.
Jesus Damn. Christ.
And he's number 13 on the list. You know what I mean? So I wonder, I guess it probably depends on a lot who they've went against. You know what
year,
I mean?
Yeah, like, what year was that?
Yeah, what was year media was, like? Yeah,
because
that was 1902 to 1920.
Well, that's the thing. Like back in the day.
He's number 13.
Yeah. Like again, like pre-cable, these motherfuckers would fight all the time. And once it came like to cable and pay-per-view, you'd fight twice a year maybe.
1902 to 1926, that's like your winnings were a basket of bread.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you won the basket of bread. He's like, fucking yeah.
You get a roll of uncut denim and a basket of bread.
Yeah. You just come in a vest. Like oh, you won the boxing match. You got a fucking denim vest.
He fought a pikey in a barn. Yeah. Like
pikey in a barn. That's some snatch status. Yeah. He's dead till the job's done.
They put a stake on his eye in the corner.
Yeah. So he was actually... on August 1st of 1987, he was the first heavyweight to own all three major boxing belts, which after him kind of kept happening for a while. Because I think every time, like I think by default, when Holyfield beat him or when Buster Douglas, I guess, beat him, would he have had all three belts or would have just been a fight for one belt.
Yeah,
okay. So it was just in one.
You can hold boxing. Multiple belts in different places, but it would be for one, whatever you're fighting.
Unless it's a unified fight, which is really rare.
Yeah. I don't
but
know.
I've seen it happen.
You're showing our weakness in sports.
I've seen
right
unified
now.
Fights where it's like I have three belts and whoever wins gets all three of them, but it's really fucking rare.
I've seen unified field theory. That's how much sports I do.
I think maybe that's one of the reasons I'm extra sad that boxing has gone away, because I think it was the only professional sport that I ever actually watched or cared about.
I only watched it because like family would have the fights on. That's as close as I got to sports. It's like, there's going to be chips and dip. All right, let's do this.
See, like this list doesn't even have Manny Pacquiao. Like you would think like he's a pretty good fighter, all time fighter. You know what I mean? Like it has Mike Tyson at 49.
But again, I think it's
kind of
modern fighters just don't fight that often. Yeah. So their record isn't going to be impressive like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's kind of skewed. They should start over.
Yeah.
I just think it's,
I bet the rules were different. The gloves were completely different.
Yeah.
All that shit was different.
They should make them all fight right now and just figure it out.
That'd be like taking shit away from Babe Ruth though. How fast were the pitches when Babe Ruth was hitting home runs? You know what I mean? Not 101, I bet.
Yeah. But how good was the bat?
Right.
Yeah.
And he carved his own bat, probably.
I'm saying we need to just do it. Like, put him on the plate right now and see what he can do.
Who?
Babe Ruth.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler looks like fucking Tupac.
Bones and all?
Fuck it. Then he loses. Fuck off. You ain't shit.
You can't
look
do
at
it now.
Fucking Tupac the boxer. Marvelous Marvin.
Oh, that
guy does look like Tupac.
Put a bandana on.
Hagler was dope.
Life.
That's where he went.
Yeah, that's right. So Tyson's big winning streak came to an end from a
pretty much a relatively unknown in February of 1990.
I can't tell any of these boxers apart.
Yeah, well, that's because you're racist.
It's their gloves. All their gloves are red.
All their gloves are red. Can't tell.
But he gets beat by Buster Douglas in Tokyo. And it's for some, I think Douglas is probably the first person who, for whatever reason, is immune to the fucking one round knockout. So Tyson has to go. And I remember I saw that fight. Tyson had to go like well past his threshold. And in the 10th round, he got fucking knocked out because I don't think he had the training or the condition to go 10 rounds.
I think it was never went.
And most heavyweights don't.
I think it was 8th round, but he, there was a lot of, was it 10th?
Yeah.
There's a lot of controversy going around.
He knocked Douglas down in the 8th. And then Douglas won in the 10th.
Okay, that's what it is. I know there's some 8th. Because the thing is, there's controversy around the count. But I watch side-by-side videos of Tyson's down count and Buster Douglas's down count, and they're like identical in match. But during Tyson's like countrywide talk thing or whatever the fuck you want to call it, his stand-up routine, he shows the video and says that he won that fight in the 8th round because he shows the side guy counting with his hand or whatever, and they get to, it's a 13 count.
Different,
as they count it out loud on stage while they're watching it. He counts 13. But when they do the actual ref count, they show his fall and Buster Douglas fall, and it's 10 for 10 exactly. So I don't know. But he didn't take the fight seriously. Buster Douglas's mom died 21 days before that fight.
Wow,
and he was doing it for mama.
Right.
Like mama's watching him in heaven. So he was on fire. Tyson didn't take it serious. One of the fights he was in, I can't remember which one it was, he had gonorrhea. He tells a whole story about he's like, maybe I slept with a prostitute or maybe some dirty ass broad. He's like,
a dirty ass broad.
I don't really remember which one it was, to be honest. And I think it's when he says I was fucking Asian chicks.
I guess there is a difference.
Yeah. But he was like, he had gonorrhea and he knew it. And he fought this fucking guy while he had gonorrhea and said just fought through the pain because he was too embarrassed to go to the doctor or something. And so he was just fighting with gonorrhea out there. Yeah, and still won.
Yeah, so he was
whatever
on fire.
Fight that was, yeah. But that wasn't the Buster Douglas that had gonorrhea, but he just didn't train.
Right.
And he wasn't in the right mind.
But then he got fucking fired up after he lost, and his very next fight was with the Olympic gold medalist who he lost.
Right.
And he knocked him the fuck out.
I remember that.
So he had something to prove. That's the thing. Douglas had, like, my mom died 21 days ago.
Right.
That's a hard fight for against anyone. Just happened to, because you're like, you have no choice, you have to do it for mom.
I mean, and really, I mean, Tyson should blame the director, because they obviously filmed a much better fight montage for Buster Douglas, so he was more ready to fight.
Yeah.
And then Tyson had like a montage of fucking dirty broads and doing coke. It's all about the sports montage. But yeah, so through this era, it's worth talking about Tyson's lifestyle, because as he becomes super fucking popular, he's also super rich. So some of the estimates, I read somewhere between 3 and 4, but they say that he has squandered somewhere between $300 and $400 million of all of his fight purses.
He's so rich and so famous immediately that he literally sees Robin Givens on TV and says, hey, somebody call her and let her know I want to meet her.
Right.
And so they just set it up and he has dinner with her and then like marries her a month later or some
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then beats her a month after that. Yeah.
And dude,
allegedly.
The interviews with her, and it's like the whole fucking Bob Marley thing. She was like, yeah, he was out fucking everybody. She's like, he literally came home with lipstick on the crotch of his pants one day.
Right.
And he's like, I didn't try to hide it real good. Like, he's like, I probably made the mistake this far. And he came home with like lipstick on his fucking crotch, on his collar, just getting condoms in the bedroom and shit. And she would flip the fuck out, obviously. But then he's like, shut the fuck up, I'm an animal.
Right.
I can't control my temper.
Was there any steroid accusations?
Not that I ever heard.
Yeah, because I've never seen any either.
He's a fit motherfucker. He doesn't really look juiced out, but he is fucking Holyfield, though, that motherfucker.
Yeah, I wonder. But I just wonder, like, the...
He smoked pot. He got in trouble for smoking weed.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking, like, his temperament. You know, I guess when you have that much testosterone...
He had an imbalance. He was on lithium.
Okay.
On the documentary I watched, it was like iced tea. And he's like, you raise a pit bull and then fucking put it to sleep for fucking attacking, for chewing up the furniture and shit.
Right.
So like, they raised him from age 13
to be a fighter.
Attack and be a fighter and be a fucking animal.
And all he knew was the streets.
Yeah, that's all. Before that, he was fucking running through with a machine gun
and robbing drug
dealers and shit.
Yeah,
and then he went from that, from juvie to like learning how to fight inside juvie. Coming out of juvie to live with a man who trained him 24/7 to fight. You know what I mean? And then he starts having sex and fucking doing drugs. Like, what is that guy getting? That's like a dog that you fed gunpowder and hit with a stick.
Yeah, and that's somebody with all the money you have. You don't say no.
Yeah.
You know, like,
no.
You can't, you know. Uh-uh. You get in there and you mingle with them. You're going to have to swim. Yeah, with
and then
the sharks,
give him $400 million dollars and see how he fucking fares financially.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Not gonna be good.
No. So, but he gets in street fights with random people, with other boxers. He wrecks his cars all the time.
What's his record in the street fights? I wonder.
Probably pretty wins. Good.
Yeah.
Every fucking time, for sure.
Pretty good.
He said in the interview that a street fight's not like the ring. He said it's to the
hell
death.
No.
He's like, it's to the death. You need to make sure that you beat the fuck out of them, because if you don't, they'll come back with their friend and a gun. He's like, you either put them down like so that they never come back, or you kill them. And I was like, God damn, you don't want to get in a fight. That mother, he's gonna punch you when you're out. Like, yeah, he's gonna keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. As if like the 30
you're
seconds.
Yeah. And he's fucking, and he's just fucking just mashing your face. Your face, wake up with this mashed potato skull.
The craziest part I saw about him and Robin Givens was as they were getting like publicly divorced, he said they would lay in bed at night and watch it on the news about their divorce. They would lay together and watch the divorce proceedings.
That's a trip.
Because they still loved each other. Yeah. But right. It was this horrible, they knew it was like, bad. Unhealthy, sick relationship.
Right, right.
Because he couldn't be expected to be a monogamous, normal, fucking mild-tempered person. He just couldn't do it.
So he ends up in this same era is when he's making all that Don King money, and that shit ends up going south. And eventually he ends up filing $100 million lawsuit against Don King, saying that he cheated him out of obviously $100 million, which I'm sure he did.
Probably
if
did.
Not more.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I wonder where Mike Tyson's millions of dollars have went. To Don King.
Yeah,
exactly. A lot of it, but he said he pissed a lot of it away. Not so much on himself, but like friends and like just like entertaining people. He said he liked to make people happy and he had the money to do it, so he would just do it. But yeah, he went from having $400 million to $23 million in debt.
At one point there was another, he ended up going to court with one of his ring people. I think ended up being his main trainer, I believe. And at the time, he was making a third of Tyson's purse for every fight.
The trainer was.
Damn. And he ended up suing him and doing all this stuff and got it adjusted down to 20%. But it's like, if that's what the trainer's doing, what the fuck was Don King getting as the promoter?
Yeah.
Like that purse, like Don King was taking a chunk before the purse is even decided.
I think if
he was doing a $30 million purse, Don King probably set up a $50 million purse, kept 20, gave 30 to Mike to split up between his
crew. That's what I was
about
to say. I bet like what he actually negotiates is to the side. I think that $300 million is really Mike Tyson got $300 million and still squandered it away.
Right. Yeah. But Don King probably made the same amount. Yeah. Like that was fucking Don King.
He's still alive? What the fuck's he doing?
He's alive. I don't think he's promoting anymore.
Promoting the new Trolls movie.
Yeah.
Next one coming out.
Well played, sir. Well played indeed. Don King was fucking awesome. The whole era was awesome. And Don King would get on. It'd be Don King and Mike Tyson. And he'd be only in America. It's the rumble to make you humble.
Yeah.
You know, and then fucking Mike Tyson would come up and be talking like this. And it was just fucking, it was magic.
No, it's a cartoon for sure.
Yeah.
Like we should take parts of the Troll like movie and cut it out and then dub in Don King. Someone, I'm not going to do that. Someone do that, please. Yeah. Make little Tyson and make D King or something so it's close. And then fucking put their voices in that. That'd be awesome.
So anyway, Don Kingifies the courtroom, and Tyson only ends up getting $14 million, which I'm sure was just a fucking rape.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure.
He's the dark side Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. And just endless like fucking sexual harassment trials, endless things like this. His license keeps getting suspended or risks being suspended, his boxing license. So he's constantly having to go back to court and go back to Las Vegas to get the boxing commission to reinstate his stuff because he's not a very stable character.
He gets convicted of rape.
He does. And I thought, and I'm tripping because I knew he went to jail for several years for rape, but the whole time, my memory was that he raped Robin Givens.
Oh no, no. He just
like that was always what was in my brain until I was doing this research.
Man, she told a story about him punching her and it was just like ragdoll. She said she just fucking flew.
Oh yeah.
Like, bounced around. And
you would think Jesus Christ. Yeah.
She got up on a 7 count though. It was impressive.
He's like, and then Mike Tyson's doing stand-up. He's like, so we're going to watch the video of when I punched Robin Givens.
And I was
if you look at the
down.
Ring guy on the side,
down.
I told her to stay down. And she got up after 7 and I had to punch her again.
No, dude. Which,
I won that one in the seventh.
What I read was, so he's sentenced to 6 years, and like he says he didn't do it. There's testimony from the chauffeur, of his limo driver, that he sends her off to the car, and she's like distraught, apparently. Like he said, her demeanor was that of someone that just got raped.
Right.
As did the emergency room staff or whatever that tended to her, said that, yeah, she was, it seems so.
And she was
allegedly, if I was Mike Tyson,
she was 18. He would have been in his early 20s. She was, her name was Desiree Washington, and she was Miss Black Rhode Island. So it was apparently her and like two other black women.
And the thing is, there was some shit that happened.
Like, are there black people in Rhode Island? Like, does it take that much to become Miss Black Rhode Island?
He had a history of something else that happened that I didn't see anywhere written, but it was in the documentary. And one of his first trainers, I can't remember who it was, but Tyson cornered. Like Tyson's story is like, I don't know, I grabbed her ass or something, and she was like 13. Okay, I think he was like 17, going on 18 when it happened, and he grabs this 13-year-old girl's ass, and then he corners her. Like sexually aggressively or whatever. Yeah, right. And it comes to the attention of the trainer. It's his niece
Like Dave
or something.
Does to the hot dogs.
Yeah. It's a similar kind of thing. Less aggression from Dave. Yeah. Dave's more smooth talking when he does it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real silky. Do it, Dave. How's it go? What do you say to the hot dogs? Lay down, little hot dog.
You threw in a splash of Johnny Cash.
Just
come and sit on my lap.
Just let it happen, little dog.
Come and sit on my lap, little doggy. Just lay in the bun.
Yeah.
Come here, lay.
Isn't there some
in
little doggy
bun.
In some country?
Is it?
Lay down, little doggy or something? I don't know.
Lay down, little doggy.
I don't know. There's something there. We're missing a joke. For sure. But, anyways, the fucking trainer takes Tyson at gunpoint and sticks a fucking gun in Mike Tyson's ear and tells him, "You will never threaten a member of my fucking family again." And puts a gun to his head and then fires it off, like puts it to his head, tells him boom, and shoots it off and tells him never again.
And he shot somebody on the second story.
he killed one of Tyson's pigeons. Yeah.
He falls in the ground.
It's that Mr. lady.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so then he leaves that trainer. But I don't remember if it was it couldn't have been the juvenile one. He's not having a gun. I don't know what trainer it was, but it's in that documentary that I watched.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So he ends up getting convicted of rape in February of 1992.
The point to that was he has a history of sexual aggression.
Yeah, he does. But Donald Trump did like a huge legal push to get him to not do jail time and to keep his boxing license because, of course, he was boxing in Trump hotels and
he's making money.
Yeah, Trump was going to lose a fucking shit ton of money if Tyson didn't have those fights, even if it wasn't in, you know, Tyson was such a draw in Vegas and in Atlantic City and in all these, like, even if you weren't hosting the fight,
business owners,
you were going to make a shit ton of money because everybody was going to come and book your hotel.
Yeah. Everyone's losing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like EDC weekend in Vegas. Like there's no hotels available.
Right. So Trump ends up trying to get a deal where Tyson would keep his boxing license, serve no time in jail, would still be able to fight Evander Holyfield, except he would give Desiree Washington a huge cut of the fight purse and then give the rest of the fight purse to a rape fund. And of course the judge was like, no. And
then sounds reasonable.
At a press conference, at a press conference, the reporters asked Trump if he could promise that Tyson wouldn't rape anybody else in the future. And he said, no, of course not.
Tyson said that?
No, Trump.
Oh. He said, if you can promise that he won't rape anybody in the future, then I'll do it. And he's like, I can't do that.
And then they asked Trump, would you accept $1 million to let someone rape your sister?
He's like, hell yes.
His quote, his response was, quote, every situation is different.
Oh, wow.
Master spin. Well, true. It's different. It's a different person.
Right.
He's like, I hate my sister. Fuck that bitch. I would totally let her.
Yeah. He's like, I would for free.
Yeah. Have you met
$1 million?
Yeah. He's like, she's getting fucked for $200 on Saturday night.
In my hotel.
Yeah.
So Tyson is 25 when he does the crime. He ends up
did you see where he serves the time?
Yeah, he serves time at the Indiana Youth Center.
With a bunch of 16-year-old kids?
Yeah,
I don't know.
What the fuck?
I think because if you put that fucking dude inside a normal like state prison, you'd have to be in like not Gen Pop for sure. Like he's got to be in his own little cell because for one, it's rape and they fucking hate that. And second, those dudes want a piece of Mike Tyson. Like everyone's going to want to fight him. But yeah, it says he served it.
I don't think so. I don't think everybody would want to fight him.
I think so. Those motherfuckers are crazy. They don't care. They're in there for life. Like, they lose a fight.
I think if you're famous.
What do they have to lose? No, they win. They beat up Mike Tyson. They lose. It's like, whatever. Yeah, Mike Tyson beat
you. You're famous. You'd have respect.
There's some mean motherfuckers in there.
Yeah, but they still have respect. Just because they're mean doesn't mean they don't have any respect.
Yeah, but he was a rapist. They don't fucking, they're not down with rapists. Right. And
well, allegedly.
Yeah. I'm in prison, though. They don't care. Everyone's innocent. You know what I mean?
True.
Yeah, that was a problem. So that must be why they made the decision. And he must have just been in his own special little apartment or something.
He might have, like, mentored kids, too.
Might have.
That's a great choice.
Yeah. No, I mean, he grew up. Actually, he grew up street life. You know what I mean? He could have told him, like, "Hey, don't rape 18-year-old girls when you get older."
Yeah. Right.
Like then you have to teach young kids to not do that when you get older.
Do what they say, not what they do. Yeah, that's what he said. Exactly. That was his famous quote.
So while he's in prison for that, he converts to Islam and he takes the name Malik Abdul Aziz.
But never goes by
because he's motherfucking Mike Tyson. Because that was just
It's actually Iron Malik Abdul Aziz.
Right. And
had to recall all the Nintendo games.
Exactly. Malik Abdul Aziz punch out didn't work quite like
were you about
it did in the Middle
joke?
East though.
Dang.
It did in the Middle East though. Yeah.
Played well in the Middle East.
Yeah. That what is it? Glass Muhammad.
Yeah. Oh, man. Who do they have? I can't think of the names right now.
All I remember is Hippo. Glass Joe. I don't remember the others.
King Hippo. Yeah.
King Hippo, Glass Joe.
Who's the big, the bald-headed guy? Damn it.
And then there's a guy with a pugilist mustache.
Yeah. Damn, I can't remember any of them.
Don Flamingo.
I don't think I ever beat Tyson. My buddy did beat Tyson. It was left. I had such anxiety when I got to Tyson. And then you had to go all the way through that shit again.
He already broke
even the
you.
Video, even the video game Tyson intimidated me. It was so fast.
Yep.
You had to dodge that fucking.
Yeah, you fucking did.
Dodge that right boom, come back in. Yeah.
Yep.
I couldn't do it.
David Schmuck is mad at you right now.
David Schmuck's fucking badass. He whipped my ass in Tekken.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Oh, yeah. So he ends up getting out of jail in 3 years. And he gets out in March of 95. He does his first fight in August of 95, fucking knockout in 89 seconds.
He's been training with kids.
Right. Knocking them out in seconds. His next match is in December. He fucking knocks a guy out on the third round. So he's just right back at it. Like, he didn't really miss a beat. And
he was accused of lining up tomato cans, if that's the term, I suppose. They basically said that they lined up a couple easy fights for him. So he looked good coming back out, like some first round knockouts.
I don't know if they needed to.
Maybe. I don't know. Here it is. Glass Joe, Mr. Sandman, Bald Bull is the guy I was trying to get.
Right.
I don't remember.
I don't remember that guy.
I don't remember. Bald Bull, I remember. Little Mac, though.
That's, Little Mac, yeah.
Which one was Little Mac?
Little Mac was the fighter. He's the one. He's the one that
Super one Macho Man. With. I remember that Don Flamenco. That was the mustache
Flamenco,
guy.
Yeah.
And then Soda
with the big head.
Soda Popinski.
Mm-hmm.
Von Kaiser.
Yep.
And then Tyson.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was Punch Out before Tyson Punch
you,
Out. Too,
you are right. Little Mac.
Yeah. Was Mario?
That's who you are.
Oh, you are Little Mac. Okay, that's why I don't remember. Yeah. That
was Mario still the? He wasn't the ref anymore in Tyson Punch Out.
I don't remember a Mario ref.
He was the ref in Punch Out.
That kind of seems familiar. Yeah.
But not in Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
I don't have that Nintendo. I have a lot of Nintendo games. I do not have that one.
Yeah. So
you should have it.
At this point, we get into the Holyfield fight.
Why do you keep saying Holyfield? You know it's not spelled like that.
Holyfield.
There's two L's in Holly, you son of a bitch. You call yourself an English professor.
It's Holyfield.
You do it how you want.
It says Mike Tyson's Punch Out. The referee was Mario.
Was it?
Was?
Yeah. So he fights him the first time and Holyfield fought Douglas and whooped his ass, beat him in a knockout. So he had that title. And then he ends up fighting Tyson and Tyson loses by knockout in the 11th round. And then.
But he headbutt. There's controversy. He headbutts him twice.
Right.
I watched it. It's like it's hard to say.
He's nudging. He's nudging.
He might be like. He's like aggressively. He's like,
he was just like they were together and he's like they were talking. Yeah. He's like, what's up?
But there were some marks on Tyson's head when he walks around. On the second one, you kind of see his forehead. You're like, damn, his forehead kind of looks red.
Trying to bash him.
Yeah. He's black, so that's saying something.
Right.
You can see his red forehead. Yeah.
It was purple.
And but
blood,
I remember so
rushing to it.
So the second fight between the two of them was like the fight. And I remember watching. We had free preview.
It was known as the headbutt vendetta.
Friends were over there. It was the fucking dopest fight I've ever seen in my life.
It's the only, it was the only title fight to ever be stopped by DQ. I think in the last 50 years at least. Because normally it's like respectful.
Yeah.
Like
fucking,
you know.
Yeah. Because I remember watching it and my boss at the time, a guy named Lee Adams, was just like, we were getting ready to. And he's like, brother, you watch this fight tonight.
Nigga's gonna go crazy. Motherfucker, you watch. Tyson's gonna go crazy. He got some crazy shit. He can be crazy tonight. He can go fucking crazy.
He called that
and
one.
Then like, and yeah. They started fighting and they were fighting. And then he was like, oh, goddamn, he just headbutted Tyson. And I was like, what are you talking about? And like, he kept like pointing out right. like the headbutt, like even in the second fight, Tyson got headbutted a couple of times. And that was when he fucking bit his ear. And then that was when he bit his ear the second time and took a fucking chunk off. Like he bit a chunk of his ear off well, and spit it out. Yeah, he's like,
the first one is, this is the warning.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next me again, one is, bitch. Yeah, I'm biting your fucking ear off.
I have a fucking
it was crazy.
Friend of the family that went to jail.
Yeah.
And he fucking bit someone's ear off like day one. Just because he's like, I don't know if he'd been in jail before. And he's like a normal dude.
What is that? That's not just prison things. Like,
I don't know if he'd been there before, but it was just like when he told the fucking story, he was just like, I got in a fight like first day and I just bit his fucking ear off and spit it out. And no one fucked with me ever after that. And I was like, no.
The other good thing you could do is bite their nose off.
Fuck.
Just fucking bite their nose off.
Spit it in their face.
Spit it.
Boogers in your mouth, though. Top of the ear is a pretty clean bite.
People got dirty ass ears.
It's not the top, though. Versus the
I'd
nose.
I'd bite the whole ear off, though.
On the nose, you're going to get blackheads in your mouth. Like, they're going to squeeze
if
out.
If I'm biting your ear off, I'm not going to do it half-ass. Like, you're going to be fucking Van Gogh walking around. That's your new nickname.
Yeah.
Like, that or Skeletor.
You made me, like, feel it in my teeth.
I could bite your lips off. Pretend like I'm going to kiss you and just bite your fucking lips off.
Did I ever tell you the story? My brother got bit by a turtle on his bottom lip. He had a box turtle and they have like a beak, like a fucking like bone beak. And it wasn't really the turtle's fault. It wasn't being aggressive or anything, but my brother was like maybe 7 or something. And he's
putting
laying
it up to his face.
He had it on his chest and he's like watching TV and it was like crawling up and he'd pick it up and put it down like on his stomach and it would crawl up towards his face. He'd pick it up and it was just crawling. Well, then he grabbed a pickle and he was eating a pickle and apparently
turtle's hungry.
Yeah. Turtle fucking was like, oh shit, a pickle. Yeah. And it went up and my brother's not paying attention and it fucking tried to bite the pickle. And it grabbed on his bottom lip, dead fucking center, dude. And he starts screaming and we fucking run in there like, what the fuck's happening? And there's a turtle swinging off my brother's face like Ernest Goes to Camp. Swear
and
to
then,
God.
And then he threw it against the wall and said, this is why I fucking hate turtles.
No, he couldn't. He's 7, dude. He's freaking out. He doesn't know what to do. He like is pointing at it like, oh my God. And my dad comes in with a fucking hammer and pulls my brother to the fucking fireplace. Pulls him to the fireplace. And my mom's like, no, and fucking flies in between them. Nope. Stopped my dad. She grabs like the side of its fucking jaws and like squeezes the fuck out of the side of the turtle's jaws and pops it off before my dad can smash the turtle. And the fucking, my brother had a perfect triangle. Like this crazy bloody perfect triangle on his bottom lip. We don't have no scars or anything, but yeah, my dad was literally putting my brother's head on the brick fireplace.
he was gonna kill your brother to save the turtle. He's like just fucking in a meth rage, just fucking smash, kills your brother. You don't know. See, that's the thing.
Exactly.
You don't know.
That was
exactly
before the and meth years. Yeah. But
and that's when his brother realized he was gay too in that moment. So since he was 7, he's been gay.
That was a big moment for a lot of people.
Yeah. It had to be a traumatizing moment.
Yeah, your mom saved your brother. Yeah. Your brother realized he was gay. The turtle lived.
It ruined his childhood because that was Ninja Turtle years.
Yeah. Right.
That was just fucking a crazy
Brent's
event.
Brent's still traumatized by it.
What I'm talking about.
No turtles are allowed in his house.
We don't have a turtle, no.
So
that turtle hibernated and never showed back up.
I'm sure.
That's what my parents said. I don't know. I'm thinking about it now.
My sister's turtle got ran over by the Garners, I think.
The Garners?
Gardeners.
Oh.
I was like, lawnmower.
I had friends named Garner.
We had a dog when I was a kid.
Yeah, the Garners, they ran him over. Those fucking assholes.
When we lived at the conference center, we had 2 dogs. And
when
we
lived at the conference center.
Like when we had to move into an apartment,
Katrina.
my mom told us like, yeah, there's a, like, I'm taking both of the dogs to this farm.
Oh,
I know.
The old yeller.
We were like, okay, that's really cool.
This is why Dave has 4 dogs now.
And then, like, you know, like, eventually you suddenly come to realize, oh, if they said that about the farm, they're full of shit. Like, you just went and put the fucking dogs to sleep. And my mom, like, the month she died when she was really sick, like, we were just sitting there watching the news, and she said, I just want you to know that I really did take Shadow and Clyde to a farm. Oh. It was so-and-so's farm, and it was out by blah, blah, blah. It was just past Cornwell's turkey farm. And I was like, are you fucking serious? And she was like, yes, I did.
You resented
I
really her took your whole life?
Like, exactly. And she like, then again, it was my mom. She might have been lying to me just to.
She probably was.
She was trying to get me to go steal
her
a turkey.
Breath. Yeah. She told every kid, I need you to come in one by one. She's like, don't tell your brothers and sisters this, okay? This is for me and you only. Right. You know what I mean? I'm dying tomorrow. And she's like, you were always my favorite. Now go get your sister. But she, Susie, yeah. You don't tell your brothers, but you were always my favorite.
She one got all one. Of them. Yeah, there's seven of them. She got all of them parting turkeys as gifts.
I stole How'd this from Walmart.
All the turkeys in her dress. Yeah. Yeah.
But she,
wait a minute, Mom. You weren't 700 pounds? You're just holding turkeys?
Yeah. If you lift up my left boob, you'll see. Right. Move the Nintendo games aside, and there's a turkey in there for you.
Move the $5 DVD.
In fact, I wasn't there when she died, and I have no reason to believe she's actually dead.
Oh.
Like, she might be on Tupac Island.
That'd be kind of cool. What was her name?
Tanya.
Tanya Moten.
Harding.
Tanya Moten.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a fake death? I don't know.
Tanya Moten. No, she's somebody else now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So Tyson receives $30 million. Hollyfield receives $35 million. I'm rolling with it. The largest fight in history. 2 million people watch it on pay-per-view.
1.99. Get your numbers right. They were pissed about
that. Ed Gein had Hollyfield's too. It's just ears strung
that's
up.
That's right. So when he does the second bite, they call the fight, they revoke his license, and it's really ultimately that's the end of Tyson's boxing.
Yeah. Yeah. And they found the ear though in the ring. Yeah. I don't know. Is he missing part of his ear still?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't put it back.
Chunked it out. Yeah. I think you leave it off. Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Like a badass. It's like call fire. Yeah. You wear it with
pride. No, I remember. I don't think he had the facial tattoo yet, but he had the. He came out with a tattoo in that fight.
His
and
original.
I think it was the Chairman Mao.
He was going to get. He had Mao and Che. I think he got those in jail.
Because he can't, he had a new tattoo for the first time in that
how
fight.
Are they,
and I don't
how
remember
are they
which
doing?
One it was.
He's like in a fucking kids institution that he's got tattoos after he comes out. Like, what's happening?
14-year-old kid with a guitar string and a Walkman. I don't know. But yeah, he got
this shit's
Mao
weird.
And Che. And then he gets a face tattoo, but he said his original idea was he's going to get a bunch of hearts all over his face.
That'd
and then he
cool.
decided against it.
He should have done that.
That would have been fucking dope.
That's way better than a stupid-ass
tribal. The one he got is the Maori or whatever. It's like the crazy dancing tribe thing. Yeah. It's supposed to be a symbol of like power or something. That's way better than hearts, though.
So he has to pay $3 million to Hollyfield. His license gets revoked.
Only for a little while, though.
Only for a little while. Yeah. He gets in a motorcycle accident shortly thereafter and fucking punctures his lung and breaks a rib. He ends up losing a lawsuit with another guy that he got in a street fight with. So it's kind of a shit year. And he still fights for a while, but that was like the pinnacle of his career was that fight. And at that point, people are afraid to fight him, not just because he's going to knock him the fuck out, but because he's apparently mentally unstable. So
After you get headbutted fucking six times in the ring.
Right.
Like, he's just a little bit crazier than Hollyfield.
He went back to prison for a little while, too. Like, he went back to prison.
He had, when he was fighting Hollyfield, he had some sexual assault charges pending on him. So there was, he's been in trouble. He needs to stay away from women.
Yeah.
Is basically when he's
I think the second one was an assault charge. Just like
it was for
a
sexual assault.
There was a car accident, I thought, or a car, like a, some, I don't remember.
Gonna make me read my notes.
That's what I was trying to find in my notes too. Like stopped. I don't know. February 5th, 1999. He was sentenced to a year imprisonment and a $5,000 fine, probation along with unlawful hours. He got into an incident with two motorists after a traffic accident.
Right. He knocked some people the fuck out.
I mean, that
I think. I think
there might be some sexual.
I think
his
sexual assault stuff
was all read over it.
I think it was all lawsuits out of. Like not criminal but civil.
Yeah, it could have been the Cosby effect too. Bitches are just coming out.
Oh, this was the Lennox Lewis fight. They wouldn't let him fight in Nevada Because he was facing possible sexual assault charges again, and that was in 2002.
There's a weird thing too, where he was supposed to fight Lennox Lewis, and he turned it down. He turned like Lennox turned down $16 million dollars because Don King paid him $4 million to step aside and let him fight a different guy for $30 million first, and then he was supposed to fight Lennox after, but they couldn't find the follow up on it. But it, like Lennox turned down $16 million to get four. I was like, what is happening? Don King and his magic mojo. Yeah,
Don King's weird shit, man.
He has like fairy dust in his.
The Lennox Lewis fight.
He shakes it and sparklies come out.
The Lennox Lewis fight eventually took place. Maybe they convinced him that he was going to lose no matter what.
Right.
And they generated $106.9 million from it. So,
Jesus.
I mean, the pay per views.
That's fair.
It was insane. Yeah.
So he ends up, you know, becoming the popular culture icon that he is today. He finally becomes sort of self aware. He ends up going into like Narcotics Anonymous and
kind of zen now,
cleaning
man.
Up. He marries a new woman. Like from what I read, his 4-year-old daughter died.
I think finding yourself funny kind of gives you a new look on thing. You're not angry at anything anymore. You just find your quirks funny.
Right.
And it helps.
His daughter died and that really changed his life. He ended up doing the Hangover. He ended up doing a ton of TV shows. He did his one man show called Mike Tyson, The Undisputed Truth. What's that?
Ip Man 3, IP Man, whatever you say that.
He was in Ip Man?
Yeah, yeah. The third one. Yeah, he fights him in the upstairs fucking thing, punching all his posts and shit.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
What was the end of the world movie fucking with...
The Rock?
No, it wasn't the end of the world. It was...
There's a thousand of those Armageddon.
No, it's not like that, though. Yes, that one. He was in that when they shot him. Didn't they shoot him? They shot Mike Tyson?
I think so, yeah.
I think he fucking shot Mike Tyson. They killed him.
That movie's funny.
They're in his house.
Seth Rogen always takes it too far at the fucking end, though, man. Like the fucking, what's the one with Korea and shit? It's all good. And then they start like blowing and biting fingers off. That one's great. And shit,
they fucking
like
throw the baby. The fucking, get the baby's on him trying to stab him. And he
the end of the world
baby.
One though, like all the, it's all good. And then
it's
all of a sudden
stupid.
You see the devil's like fucking 5-foot dick or something at some point. And you're like, God damn it. Watch this until the 5-foot dick came in here. What the fuck?
It's comedy.
It's intimidating. I felt good about myself.
Dave
I saw
liked
that
it. Yeah. Dave's like, look at the hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I want it in my bun. My favorite thing that I read, did you read about Tyson's weed compound?
No.
So currently he's working on, in California since weed became legal, like modern day.
I saw an article with him standing out there. He bought some land.
He bought 40 acres and a mule, and he's trying to create a retreat facility that will, so basically you go to this place, it's a retreat. You can smoke weed. You can learn how to grow weed. You learn how to make edibles. You do all this stuff. So you get, it's like a spa. You get massages. You smoke weed. You grow weed. And some of the features are luxurious camping and cabin facilities, an amphitheater, plant and supply store, an extraction facility, an edible facility, and a garden with a water feature. So
that part seems so minuscule. Yeah, I know.
They have a Zen garden.
Did I mention we have a fountain? We have a fountain.
But he's building it right now. It's being constructed and it's supposed to launch in California.
The most advanced hydroponic facility on Earth. Oh, did I mention we have a fountain?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that part, the water.
I'll be coming.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think the thing that I really like the most about Mike Tyson as I read it is I've got to make a deep nerd reference and say that when it comes to the Sofa King podcast, he's the equivalent of the Marvel villain called the Super Skrull. So the Super Skrull battles the Fantastic Four and he has the powers of all of the Fantastic Four. And when it comes to the Sofa King podcast, I believe Mike Tyson is the Super Skrull of the Sofa King podcast.
Like he has the powers of Coleman?
Because he loves pigeons.
Okay.
And he has pigeons.
That's true. Yeah.
He became vegan several years ago. Okay. And he punches babies.
That's,
Did he punch a baby?
Come on.
He must have.
I mean, how did he not punch a baby?
He probably punched.
You tell me he went to the juvie.
I mean,
I bet he fucked some pregnant chicks and punched them with his dick. So.
At any point in anybody's life, everyone's punched a baby.
Right.
Just
saying. I was about to say some shit. I'm just going to refrain.
So I think he's the Sofa King Super Skrull. He's got all of our powers. And hats off to Mike Tyson. Yeah,
that is like our powers combined. We're Mike Tyson.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I need rings.
Sounds
now.
Good.
Yeah. What are the?
We are the Iron Sofa King podcast.
That's I just right. have a pigeon ring, and you have a broccoli ring, and Brad has just a little fucking.
It's a little fist.
A fist. Yeah, there should be a baby on there.
My, gotta
be
my, a baby. Yeah, on a fist, it. And it says "fuck you" on the knuckles.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
I have to get these. I bet we can get those. Oh, we could probably 3D yeah. print them. That'll be plastic, though.
Yeah. I have a "fuck you" pinky ring. I
do you?
That. Yeah.
You own that already.
Yeah,
of course.
Of course I do.
Yeah. Okay, are we good? I have a winner and some sponsors and shit.
Winner.
So we have a winner this week for social media. Episode 285, Evil Knievel. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. How do you say this guy's name here? Jose Luis Jimenez. Fancy. I think he's a six-fingered man. He killed my father. He should prepare to die. But anyway,
people with three names.
It's not, though. Jose Luis is together as one name. That's the first name, Jose Luis.
No.
Yeah.
It's two names.
Is there a space?
No. Two names, bad grammar.
It's one.
It's just bad grammar.
I don't know, though. You know what? To be fair, this has been.
His parents couldn't read and write.
This has been transferred. This has been retyped. It could be a typographical error here. But he wins a t-shirt because he shared that post on social media. So I post every time we have a new episode, I put that on social media across the platforms, and there can be stickers or pocket sauce or hot sauce or a t-shirt. I'm still going to do those fucking.
You do nothing and you win free shit, basically.
Pretty much. Like if you're willing to bug your friends a little bit and share our post,
right?
That's really the big thing. Commenting is great, but if you share it, it really actually helps us because a couple of your friends, if you're into the podcast, your friends like what you like, they're probably going to like our show. When you share it, it really helps us. So if you share those posts, you got a chance at winning something. And at worst, your fucking friend that was posting every football down and a play-by-play and political bullshit that pissed
they
you off.
Won't like
this
our
is
show.
Your chance to get back at them.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true.
Post, share it on the feed and make them see it.
Yeah.
And you might win a prize.
If your friend's like me and Brent, though, anything Brent likes, I don't.
Right.
Yeah. Just based off, I think, though, if I put on a mask and pretended to be someone else, or if I knew all the things Brad was going to say he liked and I said them, he'd be like, damn it, I really liked it, but Brent likes it. Okay. I can't fucking like it now.
I'll stick with it.
Yeah, think so?
This is what it is. Yeah.
Well, that was a test. So you passed. So you really don't like what I like. Because now you said you'd stick with it. And you never stick with some shit that I said I like. You always say you don't like it.
I just like to be different.
With the exception of mint chip.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah. What else? We had a couple things. We had mint chip ice cream.
Oh, there's Mountain Dew.
No, not Mountain Dew, though. You guys are on the same page.
We're on
I do not.
Page.
Yeah, I do not drink Mountain
Isn't
Dew.
Isn't it Velveeta shells and cheese?
Oh, Velveeta shells and cheese. There's a few things. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a couple things where no shit. Where's another big one that we found? I don't know. Anyways, El Yucateco Hot Sauce is our primary sponsor. We'd like to thank them. You can buy shit on their website, or you can win a hot sack by sharing our post on Fridays. Like, who did? Was that guy that won? Boyd Henry.
Lloyd. Yeah.
Lloyd?
Lloyd.
Oh, Lloyd. I wrote Lloyd.
That's Lloyd.
I'm glad we did that. Lloyd.
And all you have to do
is. I said Lloyd.
I know, but I'd already written it. I was way ahead.
All you have to do is go to elyucateco.com.
He has ruined people's brains. They can't say it anymore.
No, I've perfected their brains.
You know what? That's a better term. I agree with that. You perfected it. I'll say it normal.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm hungry, man.
I am kind of hungry.
I have a banana.
I thought you were just happy to see
me. Hey, Dan Camarillo messaged me last night.
Did he
was like, C for cock, huh? Fucking asshole. I was like, oh, you're still listening, I see. Yeah. I was like, well, apparently not that's all the time. Yeah, I was like, because we talk a lot of shit, and that's the first time you messaged me in a while. So that was a test, sir.
Yeah,
you sort of passed. You can listen a little bit. Also, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. That's our other sponsor, and you can use code SOFAKING to save some money on their website. They do printed goods, banners, stickers, things such as that, temporary tattoos. If you have a podcast, I'm sure you could think of some swag to order from them, have them make you some stuff, but use code SOFAKING at printdirtcheap.com. Also, thank you to DeLeon Graphics. Does all of our silkscreen stuff, t-shirts and whatnot, and they're available at our web store at sofakingpodcast.com if you click on shop. Thank you to Digital Creations for our heat press goods, and thank you to Dan Camarillo for the mushroom tip impression that he has in his board shorts. When he tries to roll with everyone, it's awkward, but it's appreciated. You can go to armhunter.com for instructional videos and
it's
attire.
Not very good publicity.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
You're into it's only during the private lesson. If you sign up for a private lesson, you know what you got.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah. I mean, and you have to find the Easter egg on the website and tick the mushroom box.
Yeah.
You take that
tick
box.
The mushroom box.
And then you go to the private lesson. It's like the tapping your foot under the stall.
And private lessons are free because he enjoys it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. It has an airport stall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You click it.
We're giving away too much. Make them work for it. Make them work for it. We've given them too
running
much
at, if you're running out to watch us live, patrons who support us at $10 more get access to a special viewing group, and we don't let you in if you're not a patron of $10.
I'm about to do audit.
More.
I'm about to clean house. I'm running through that shit and pulling it out, bitches.
Yeah.
I know who you are.
So
you'll get away with it tonight, though.
Go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast and you can sign up there. $10 or more gets to watch us live and you get early episodes and all that good stuff. So join up, check us out on Instagram at SofaKingPodcast. There's a bunch of funny clips on there. It's pretty much all clips. There's nothing else really on there. Clips from the show, maybe you missed, or maybe you just didn't care to listen to.
People are still recommending topics and the topic thing that we've done. Look back through the old episodes. If you're like, damn, I don't know what to do. Anyone suggest any other podcasts that are good? I'm all caught up. No, you're not. You didn't listen to 150 episodes.
Some people have.
I know those motherfuckers aren't, though, because I don't recognize their name.
Yeah. So, check us out. Personal profiles at SofaKingBrad, at SofaKingBrent, at SofaKingDave. Check out at the Captainess _ SK quotes for some funny quotes from the show. At Hilgenfeld for some artistry and at SofaKing Podcast Art Unofficial.
And check out, if you get a message from Frankie Pigeons, that is official correspondence now. That's a real account, whether it be on any of the platforms, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. The giver is helping us correspond for prize giveaways and whatnot. So that will be who's contacting you to get shirt sizes, addresses, things such as that. So please respond so that we can get that stuff shipped out efficiently. I appreciate it.
And go to Facebook and join the unofficial SK Ultra group. You can find that by searching it. And that's pretty much it. The end song is DeLorean by King Soul. Don't be a retard.
Just ride with me. Just ride with me. Take a trip back to the past, back when I sent it on the keys, back when I couldn't get a beat, back when I didn't know anything. Now you gotta ride with me, like I'm tryna be that Marty McFly. I'ma take it to the sky, hit the pedal, then I swerve round. Let me hit the gas on the timeline. Go 88, throw a little 80s in that rap sound. I've been thinking about life, regretting everything when I'm tryna live right. Now I got a whip and I'm finna drive tight. Out of time license, then I take flight. Hitting up dock with a scheme. All this frustration been letting off steam. Now I got a chance, is it really what it seems? I don't know. Am I ripping out the seams? Let's go. Jumping in the car and I'm switching up the year. 1998, looking in the rear. What you gonna do when I start up on the road? Blue Tony on, I ain't never getting told. Did you get the memo? I said that I'm out here.
Oh, yeah.
Running so loud I could bet the whole town here.
Town here.
I bet the whole town here. I've been trying to tell y'all I'm out here. Just ride with me in my DeLorean and we'll kick it. We'll go back to the future, back to the past. Just ride with me in my DeLorean and we'll kick it. We'll go back to the future, back to the past. What's the deal? Show me how I gotta work this thing. I mean, I seen in the movies it's Red Bull, cause all that you gotta do is give it wings. What am I gonna revisit? All those things that they tried to elicit. A million things from me, I wish I had handled it differently, so I might switch it. But that's life, what am I gonna do if I think that I'm right, but I turn out wrong? I've been singing these words on like every song. Now maybe I think I knew it all along. But if I had a time machine, then I might screw up everything that is coming up ahead. I might go turn around, tell them all what I gotta do so I don't turn up dead. And you know, that every one of us regrets and we always wanna change it. But if I had the chance, I'm not sure that I would take it. We're too focused on the basics. Like I know that you could go in a lotto, make money all day, that's the motto. But you can mess up the space-time continuum, how's that for some vibrato, huh? Just ride with me in my DeLorean and we'll kick it. We'll go back to the future, back to the past. Just ride with me in my DeLorean and we'll kick it. We'll go back to the future, back to the past.
Everybody knows, everybody knows. Got him looking from the head to toes, and that's so slow-mo. When I spit it, it's original, always up on that digital, trying to hit the pinnacle, knowing that this is pivotal, trying not to be cynical, hoping that nothing criminal happens to open rituals. And yeah, I know what I said right from the jump. When I hit the road, I'm not looking to bump. I'm trying to say, be careful what you wish for. When you're obsessed with a greed, I know you miss more. Just make what you make out of life. If you're feeling regret, well, that's nothing to switch for. You've been wanting DeLoreans in your life. You want to change what's allowed. But I'm trying to tell you, forget that. Just focus on what you do now. Just ride with me in my DeLorean and we'll kick it, yeah. We'll go back to the future, back to the past. Just ride with me in my DeLorean and we'll kick it, yeah. We'll go back to the future, back to the past.